How do you keep up to date with industry software and services? With interviews and demonstrations to keep you informed and up to date, here is a great investment of your time. So be sure to catch every episode of the TechSplain series. And remember to hit like and subscribe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TechSplain series. On a recent podcast I was on, we were discussing tech and how in most workplaces and rental industry, they don't have a tech person in the team or let alone an IT department, someone who finds, recommends, and even trains the others in the newest software or systems. And lo and behold, today's interview has taken many months, and in fact, take two, to come to fruition. This interview today offers just that. Today, I'm talking to that tech person. Well, it's more like a tech service and actually a lot more. Today, my guest is John from TechTape. Hello, John. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Deborah? Good to see you again.
Yes, good to see you too, John. Sorry, we had a little technical issue the first time around. This time it's going to be a great one. John, can you please tell us, what does TechTape do?
Yeah, so as Deborah mentioned, TechTape is a service. It's not SaaS. And we provide service that leverages the best-in-class technology that's available to the short-term rental industry. And then we help operators either run their revenue or refine their tech stack so it works for their business.
So as a property manager, would I be coming to you because I don't feel I'm getting the most out of the software that I've signed up for? Or would I be coming to you to say, what am I missing?
Primarily the first. Of course, we can assist in identifying some gaps. But really, it's if you're using software and you're running into pain points with that software or that stack, rather than going around and starting to find for the shiny new object that may or may not solve that problem, we can make the software work for your business, really identify what your needs are, and then create a service around that.
And do you recommend software or you just sharpen up what they've got?
We are tech agnostic. So as long as the software seems to be addressing the needs of that property manager or operator, we're not going to say, oh, you should change to this or that. But if it's something that may not be working, then we may say, hey, you know, you may want to look at some other solutions that address your problem. And let me just, for as background, because everyone in this industry kind of built their business from the ground up without any education or any training, every business is different. And that's why, you know, while a software package may be amazing for one operator, it's going, you know, it can be terrible for the next. And that's why we stay tech agnostic.
Yes, true. Everyone is different. And in terms of, I was on a podcast recently, and we were actually also talking about non-VR tech. Do you by any chance assist in that as well? Because, you know, how do we discover non-VR tech if we don't have that tech personal IT team?
Well, so we utilize technology, whether it's in the VR space or not, and we kind of bring it together. And so we utilize that as part of the solution that we provide. I would probably say that if you're coming to us to get a tech solution, adding yet another technology solution that is not specifically geared towards the vacation rental, short-term rental space, may not be the best idea for you to just bring straight in-house, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. And so the first step, if I was going to use TechTape, you would ask about pain points, if there'd be like an interview about my business and what the problems are.
So let's segment this into the two services that we have. So for what you're talking about right now, that's where we're tailoring your existing tech stack to address very specific pain points. So we, you know, we would have a conversation, and really you'd be coming to us and saying, hey, you know, everything seems to be working well, but here are like two or three things that if these things could be solved, you know, everything would be really smooth for us, right? So it's not kind of like, hey, tell us, coming kind of blank and saying, hey, yeah, tell us what we should put together.
Yeah.
You should have a tech stack that works for about 70-80% of your operation.
Mm-hmm.
And then that those very specific pieces where the way you would identify it is, you know, either you're thinking about this issue all the time, and when it pops up, you have to jump in, or a team member has to jump in. But it is a problem that kind of consistently happens over and over again.
Mm.
And then that's where we could, you know, kind of assess what the triggers may be, and then customize that solution for you.
Yeah, fantastic. And then the other service is?
So the other one, and that this is one that's been very popular recently, revenue management. We basically run the operators, Price Labs or Wheelhouse. So we're running their revenue side so that they can focus on good operations, guest communications, growing their business, making the owners happy. And one of the things that we are delivering is not just kind of maintaining and just operating it for them, but even now in 2024, I would say about two-thirds of our clients are either have performance that's equivalent to or better than 2021 or 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So it's vastly higher performance.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we strive for. If we just kind of maintain what the market is doing and, you know, a few percentage points above the market, we don't consider that success.
Yeah. Okay. And I think we should just clarify that anyone can sign up to dynamic pricing and you'll be told what the nightly rate should be, et cetera, et cetera. But what then does a revenue manager do with that same data that a property manager doesn't do?
Right. So conceptually, think of the dynamic pricing tool like Price Labs or Wheelhouse
mm-hmm.
as a Formula One sports car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have an amazing piece of technology. It could do lots of amazing things. With that said, if I got on the track and drove that Formula One race car versus someone who's, you know, trained and has been racing all their lives, right?
Yeah.
We have the same exact technology, same yeah. exact course that we're running, but I can guarantee you that I'm not going to win the race, right?
Yeah.
On the revenue management side, we've been doing this for close to 8 years now. We've been refining the process. And so really, the data that comes into the software, as well as other data sources, we utilize that. But there are lots of other softer components. So for example, risk profile, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just going to take a little bit of time to explain this.
Yeah, yeah.
You would never go into a bank to sit down with a financial advisor and ask them, can you please just pick any stock and any fund just to make me as much money as possible and then walk out and then expect to have a good result? You would say, you know, I'm 40 years old. I have 3 children. So right now I have a little higher risk tolerance, but as I get older, you know, I want to get more conservative. And then they formulate a portfolio based on your risk profile because it's an investment.
Mm.
Short-term rentals are investments as well. And in order to get the right pricing, it's not just about the data that's coming in. One soft factor is your risk profile. And so we work hard, not only to understand what the market is doing, but we work to understand what your investment thesis, your risk profile is. And then we tailor the strategies that we're applying based on that.
Mm.
And so even if you have the same exact property, same exact market conditions, same reviews, same pictures, everything identical, except the owners had different risk profiles, those exact identical properties would generate vastly different amounts of money. And at the end of the day, even the person who made less money would still be happy because it aligned with their risk profile, right? So that is something that I don't think a lot of people understand or we don't talk about. And so that's one thing that we factor in.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the data really tells us what definitely happened in the past.
Yeah.
And some indication of what's happening in the future. But it's not a crystal ball, right? Otherwise, we would be able to predict stock prices, right? Because it's
yeah.
all database, right?
Yeah.
So there are lots of soft components to revenue management that go beyond just having the data. And
yeah.
that's what we're as a service, we're marrying the data and the analytics with the soft components. And that's how we are, for example, outperforming 2023, 2022 numbers right now. Is because we're really fine-tuning those aspects.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a very interesting analogy. I never would have put the word risk with dynamic pricing and revenue management, but you're right. That F1 driver that knows what they're doing and taking some calculated risks, but you're not.
Exactly.
You're still
exactly.
going to finish the race and, you know, he's going to obviously be faster. So it's interesting factoring the risk. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. For example, that Formula One, if you're skilled,
yeah,
you know how to corner so that you're coming out of the turn really fast, right?
Yeah.
I could still come out of that corner, but I'm gonna have, I'm gonna be trying to rev up the engine by the time I come out of the corner, right? So
but
that's that is the analogy.
You said you both finish the race and you're both happy. You're happy
yes.
that you finished the race without crashing.
Exactly, exactly.
And you've got some case studies to show us today?
Yes. So I'm going to share one case study of, it's a portfolio of about 65 properties in Tucson, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And give me just one second.
Yeah.
Basically, they started working with us in August of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And Tucson, Arizona, 2024 is a lot, it's a slower economy market than it was the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I'm pulling it up and I'm going to share my screen in a second. Mm-hmm. All right. So here is...
A lot of places are slowing down 2024. A lot of people
I'm
are
sorry.
Fearing bookings.
Sorry, that's the wrong screen. Today I'm having the technical difficulty now. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
All right. So this is a portfolio of around 60 properties. He has some properties that have double, kind of nested listings.
Yeah.
But basically, we came on board in August, end of July, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make this a little bit clearer so that we could see what's going on. So the solid black line is 2023.
Yeah.
The red line is 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And the dotted line is 2022. And then I'll add on 2021 later.
Mm-hmm.
So we started working together at the tail end of July of August 2023, July of 2023.
Yeah.
And then when the portfolio came on, it was pretty dire, lots of vacancy within their, 60 plus unit portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, we started adjusting. And so relative to 2022 numbers, again, a meaningful increase.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in September, October, November, December. Now in January, again, better than both 2022, 2023.
Yeah.
February, March, April.
Yeah.
We just finished May. So what this is really showing you, if you put this into context, their past 10-ish months have been the best 10 months of their history running as a short-term rental. And this is RevPAR, so per unit comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point right now, we do anticipate, we still have, 3 weeks of June left. And there's still some occupancy that we can capture. So we do anticipate that we're going to have similar results in June. And by the time 2024 ends, we are projecting that they're going to have their best year ever in a year where things are about 20% slower in the Tucson market than it was in 2022.
And
so that, yep.
Is this manager, would you put him, what risk category is he in? Just so we know these sorts of results, low risk or high risk?
He's about a medium risk. So
okay.
When things are slowing down, so the summer months historically are very slow. So now he's, you know, he's like, all right, let's really focus on occupancy so that we can bring in the revenue.
Yeah.
But February, as you can see, is a historically high, you know, the peak month. That we actually worked with him in, you know, starting in October, where he wanted to hold out and wait, you know, wait it out until all the other properties, you know, more or less got booked, and then make his properties more, more competitive, and bring in the higher rates, right? And so that's part of the reason why we were able to really go high on the peak and still outperform the, you know, the lower months. And that's really the balance that we're adjusting the strategy consistently based on what's going on in the market and based on the risk profile. And, you know, the strategy we're implementing right now is very different from what we were implementing in October, November, December.
Yeah. And as a revenue manager with a client, does that mean you're looking at data and their pricing every day?
We, our system and our team touches every property at least twice a week. And what touching means is we're assessing. Sometimes there might be nothing we have to do. And if that's the case, we're not going to touch it. So using the driving analogy, right? Someone who's constantly fidgeting, you don't have a good ride.
Yeah.
But when you need to adjust, you make a small adjustment. And when you don't, you kind of let it go, right? That's kind of what we're doing. We're seeing what's going on in the market. Is everything pretty much stable?
You're cruising.
We've confirmed that it's stable and we can cruise. But if there's a turn coming up or something, then we'll make that little nudge so that you stay on track.
Yeah, great. Very good.
So, like I said, on the revenue management side, we really thrive on not just kind of helping managers maintain, but you see in the shared screen, we have other clients where we've doubled the revenue over a 2-year period. We don't have to go into all the case studies, but again, consistently, you know, the vast majority of our clients are having equivalent or better year this year, and mostly in the US than the past couple of years, which have been really fantastic, especially in the US.
And so then if I'm using you as a revenue manager, do I just like hand over my property to you and you run the show in terms of all the pricing?
Yes. So
you drive the car.
We drive the dynamic pricing car. We completely understand that listing optimization, SEO, all, you know, distribution, promotions, we understand that that's all important part of revenue management. So what we do is we can coordinate KPIs that your team needs to assess what the pricing and the dynamic pricing tools are doing so that you and your team can see how that fits in with your distribution strategy and all that. But we are not providing the service of, you know, optimizing your listing and all that. And so we're really just driving the dynamic pricing engine. But we do coordinate through key KPIs that you and your team may need.
And did you have that second one, second case study today?
I'm happy to share the second case study. I just don't want to seem like, I'm just, you know, trying to show all the best and, but let me share this one.
That showed a portfolio, but when you see it for one property and you see the numbers loud and clear for one property, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so let me share this.
Because you don't really hear about revenue managers. Well, they're not in the smaller companies anyway. And this is basically a team member that, I won't say it's vital, but like how outstanding to have this in your team.
Yep. Yeah. So one of the differentiator, and after I show the data, I'll show you pictures of this property so that you can see what kind of property it is.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we do is we actually work with, you know, individual owners of 1 to 5 properties, and we work with property managers with many, many, you know, 100 properties or, you know, 100 plus properties. And typically the revenue management is not available as a service to a lot of the smaller operators.
Yeah.
But so this house, this is a single house in New Jersey, and it's in an economic development zone. And again, after I do this, I'll show you pictures. It's in an economic development zone, which basically means it's not like a up-end, high-end neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it's not the Jersey Shore. So it's not a vacation destination. Mm-hmm. So I will, let's go through it this way. So 2021, we were not involved in the revenue management of this property.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about a $1 million property. US dollars, and it's a 12 bedroom mansion, so it has very, it can help, you know, sleep a lot of people. In 2021, the previous manager just did their overall revenue, and they ended 2021 with $185,000 in gross booking revenue, which is very respectable in and of itself. We came on board in January of 2022. And about 30% of the calendar was already booked when we came on. And that's something that we're not excited about, but that's what we inherited.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see 2022 was meaningfully higher than 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended 2022 with $254,000 in gross booking revenue, just a smudge above the 185. 2023, now we have the full calendar. So this is the black line. And so in 2023, now that the owner had made more revenue, he did put in about $10,000-$15,000 worth of upgrades and some of the furnishings, painting some of the walls, but nothing major.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended 2023, and you can see that was meaningfully higher. At $345,000 in gross booking revenue. And so if you look at 2024 right now, we're in June. We don't want everything booked out and far into the future, so that's why it's lower here.
Yeah.
But if you look so far, we're pretty much on track to finish the year more or less around the $350,000 mark.
Mm-hmm.
So what basically it means is over a 2 to 3 year period, we essentially doubled their revenue. And again, this is because the owner's risk profile actually started expanding as they saw that we were able to generate more revenue. Does that make sense?
Yes.
When they were running it at a very conservative risk profile.
Uh-huh.
We were able to start expanding that by showing them that we can generate more revenue, meaningfully more revenue. Once they saw that, they not only invested in more in the property, but they also came and like started allowing us to do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by doing that, you know, that's how we ended up getting to what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So I will pull up some pictures of that listing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I know I should have had this already, But the second time is a charm, right? So
yes.
I'm almost there. All right, perfect. Because what I want to kind of explain, and I'm sorry I keep doing this, is these are nice properties, but these are not, you know, like fantastic properties with, you know, Instagrammable walls and rooms and, you know, hot tubs and everything, right? So, you know, this is the exterior of the house. It's in a nice, classy, you know, classic looking house.
Mm-hmm.
These are the beds, right? The bedrooms.
Yep.
Bathroom. Kitchen. Right? So it's nice.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, it's one of those like, wow, I have to go there and I have to stay there kind of a property.
Yeah.
And that's what I really want to kind of explain is the more you invest in the property and the better you make the SEO and the, you know, listings, we will gravitate towards what that market will bear to, you know, to generate the revenue.
Yeah.
And that's why we leave the SEO and the optimization to the property manager. And the better they do it, the more money we can make for them. And the worse they do it, we could still generate a meaningful revenue even without having to do everything. So I think that's really the point I wanted to make with that.
Yeah. Look, you know what? Everyone probably thinks they're doing quite well. I mean, I'm thinking about what I used to do. And I used to think, oh, yeah, I did pretty well. But if I could use a service that could have doubled that income. I mean, like I way back at that time, I wasn't using dynamic pricing, but if someone had come along and said, I could double the income for you. Oh, okay.
So that's interesting that you say that because almost every partner that we, you know, when we were doing the discovery call.
Yeah.
Almost everyone always says, I do really well, but, and then we start, you know, we onboard the properties and oftentimes there's a lot of work needed to get it kind of stabilized and working. Again, that's not to say that they're doing a terrible job, but I think the point of reference typically, because everyone's kind of built their business themselves, the point of reference actually is their own performance historically. And so I think that's where that really comes from.
Would you consider or do you offer an audit? Could you give me a projection of if you took my property and ran with it, what sort of income could you be getting me?
So we used to do projections.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use our case study, for example, right? With the New Jersey house, if I had to give them a projection, I would have said, you know what? We could probably generate $225,000, right? Like, because you have to be conservative. And economic conditions change, right?
Yeah.
And so long story short, we used to try to do projections. We saw that, I know this is going to sound terrible, but we were always wrong. Always wrong. We would either...
But in a good direction, right?
Yes, but... Right. And then so then that gets the other point where like, you know, it's like, oh, that's all you can do for us. Right. So what we've done is we've stopped giving projections. And let me share a thought I have about projections. In companies, if a revenue manager provides a, you know, annual projection, they actually get penalized if they far outperform it because, you know, it's like, how come you didn't, we missed out on this opportunity because you didn't project, right? So what typically ends up happening is they make a reasonably conservative projection. And then throughout the year, they're actually trying to stay within 5-10% of that projection, right?
Yeah.
They can't be way off. Obviously, that's a bad thing. But if they're way off the other way, there's also consequences that is very, and you know, it doesn't make sense. You should just be happy that you're making more, right? And so it starts biasing your decisions because you're like, we're almost at our projection. Okay, now let's cruise, right?
Yeah.
And so for multiple reasons, we've stopped doing projections. With that said, if we kind of look at their portfolio and what their calendar looks like and look at their past, you know, past performance, we can quickly assess, we can add a lot of value.
Yeah.
There are some folks who are like, you know what, it seems like you're doing really well. We could probably add some value in terms of a slight revenue uptick, but a lot of time savings. And that might be kind of the value that they see. But we're always looking for kind of eye-popping or jaw-dropping revenue results like the ones that I've shown you.
Yeah. So does
In
that mean
fact, yeah.
you might turn away a client?
It well, yes, we there are definitely people that if it has to be a mutually beneficial relationship. And so if it doesn't seem like it's going to be a win-win, you know, we'll say, you know what, like it, this doesn't seem to be the right fit. With that said, we are happy to, you know, onboard and work with you to see the possibilities. Because again, we don't do the projections, and that New Jersey house shows that, again, we never would have thought it was a $350,000 house, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
we will do that. We really do want to try to provide an opportunity for everyone to have access to, you know, expert revenue management services.
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of tech and a lot of software out there that really does not cater to the smaller property manager or property owner. So that's great that, you know, even just one property and you could and they can use you. But the big question is, if you're going to have a, if a property owner is going to have a revenue manager staff, how much does it cost? So let's start with the revenue management side first. So if I wanted to work with you, how is that price? How does that work?
Right. So our pricing for owners, operators with less than 20 properties, we charge 5% of the accommodation rate that we generate. We don't charge on the cleaning fee. We don't charge on taxes. And we also subtract the accommodation portion of the OTA fee. In other words, we don't want to charge a fee on top of a fee, right?
Yeah.
So really trying to be fair. If you have more than 20 properties, then volume discounting starts to apply. And that's on a case-by-case basis based on your portfolio and whatnot. But again, for the smaller operators, we are accessible for them to work with us. The other thing that I'll say about bringing a revenue manager in-house, which I think, again, at a certain point, all companies should do that. So we're not saying we can replace, but it's usually at scale. But typically when a company hires a revenue manager, it's just, it ends up being someone who's looking at the revenue, but then is in charge of distribution, is in charge of listing optimization, is in charge of marketing. And so they end up wearing a lot of hats that are related, but not as much focus on just on the pricing part. And so I think I mentioned before, the way we work with larger companies, like the one that I showed you before in Tucson, Arizona, is we share consistently the key performance indicators of their portfolio, ADR, RevPAR, occupancy. And from there, they're able to kind of adjust what they need within their portfolio and make adjustments. So that's on the revenue manager side. The other value add that that company is seeing, right? So they are at a size where maybe, you know, they could, you know, consider bringing on an in-house revenue manager, but they're not. And the reason why they're not is, one, we are generating so much more revenue right now. And just because you have someone titled revenue manager does not necessarily mean that, you know, they have that skill set. They may or they might may not. But the other is, currently they're growing really fast because their owners are seeing that they're making a lot more money this year than they did, you know, during 2021, 2022.
Yeah.
So word of mouth is, you know, just getting out. And so they're bringing on more properties. So they're using us as part of their marketing campaign right now. And so that's kind of like the synergy of, you may want to bring it in-house, but there's still a value to having someone just literally dedicated to one aspect of the revenue side, and then have your team focusing on lots of different aspects of it that fits your business.
Yeah, fantastic. And then the tech side, how does the pricing work with that?
So on the tech side, let me hold on. Are you seeing my screen?
Not yet.
Okay. Give me 1 second. And okay, so the other thing is we are very transparent. So the pricing is on our website so that we can't switch things around, right? So, like I said, on the
Yeah.
revenue management side, we start at
Yeah.
5% and discount with 20 plus properties. On the technology side, it's $10 per property per month. That one, you need a minimum of 5 properties for us to get going.
Okay.
And that takes care of up to 3 tailored solutions that we build and maintain on top of your current tech stack. And again, as you scale, then
Yep.
we could do customized pricing. But we do want to make this all accessible to the smaller operators as well.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think this way, I am an operator myself, right? So I got into this industry with a short-term rental company in Honolulu, Hawaii. It's still live and active and going well. And so I think like an owner. And I was frustrated when there were some software companies that wouldn't even give me a call back for a demo because I didn't have enough properties, right?
Yeah.
And that really aggravated me. And so a big part of this is how can we bring, expert services
Yeah.
to all the industry, not just the big operators.
Yeah. I think there is a little bit of a gap there. You know, the tech out there that's targeting the smaller property managers or the new people on the block. You know, there are plenty of people jumping off Airbnb. I still see questions. How do I get a website? It's like, wow, these people are right at the beginning of the learning curve. And what tech out there is really catering to those the newbies?
Well, to jump on top of that, I was just at the Skift conference in New York City, and I don't Phil Kennard, he's the rentalpreneur advocate,
Yeah.
and he was sharing an AirDNA point. 95% of the listings on Airbnb are, I think, less than 10 unit operators, and the vast majority are 1 to 5 units, right? So while the larger operators, and again, I have nothing against larger operators, but while the larger operators might have consolidated, more inventory under their management, the vast majority of the industry is the smaller operators. And
Yeah.
so they do deserve and they do need these services. And so I really hope the rest of the industry starts, moving towards what Phil is advocating for. And that's definitely something that Tech Tape, we are doing.
Yeah,
And
great.
if I may,
Yeah.
my English is American English, so you might think that everything I'm talking about is just about America, but we are highly focused in North America and in America particularly, but we do service globally. So we have clients in Australia, in Asia, in Europe. And so at this point, our filter is we need to be able to communicate fluently in English. But the geography really does not matter. Our systematic approach
Yeah.
can be applied in any different types of market
Yeah.
and any global region.
Great.
And so just want to make sure that we're trying to be equal opportunity around the world.
That's great. Yeah, very good. So anything from one property and anywhere in the world.
Yes,
So
exactly.
given with the discussions, the onboarding and all the work that you do in terms of the revenue management, is there a contract? Is there a contract that you want them to be with you for a year, or is it just monthly?
So we are dedicated to showing that we add value and we continue to add value. So while as a business practice, it might not be smart not to have an annual contract, our agreement, basically, we just require 60-day notice to cancel.
Okay.
So it is kind of a month to month, but with 60-day notice. And we have partners that we've worked with for about 5, 6 years now on that agreement. And so we're saying we have not only initially show you value, but on an ongoing basis, continue to prove that we're adding value to you and your company. And by doing that, that's kind of our performance guarantee. Because it's very hard to calculate precisely. And so that's what we've been doing. And again, we have, many partners that's been with us for many years now. And so that's kind of the proof in the pudding.
Well, when you've got the F1 driver driving your car, why would you change driver?
Exactly. It's like you could sit in the back seat and just enjoy the ride. I don't know if the F1 car has a back seat, but
Well, you got the best viewpoint. You're seeing them cross the finish line every day, and that's a nice view. Great. John, we've come to the end of the usual interview. Was there something
Can
that... Of
I
course.
add one more thing?
Of course, of
So,
course.
especially because this is our second attempt at getting this done. If anyone signs up with us and mentions either TechSplained or Deborah Labby, we will provide a 10% discount off of the rate. And so that's kind of an incentive for folks to join up with us. But yeah, so that's I just wanted to share that.
Yes, that's great. But was there anything else about Tech Tape or Techco or Tech Tailor that we don't know yet?
So Tech Tape.
Yeah.
No, it really is. I would say everything is by an operator for operator, right? And my Hawaii portfolio is a small portfolio, so I do think like a smaller operator. Yet I'm in lots of masterminds and many, many professional colleagues who have scaled beyond, 100, 200 properties. And so I know that point of view. And so I kind of straddle kind of the broad landscape. And so that's why we're trying to, it's not that we haven't identified our ideal customer profile. It's just that we can service a broad profile and we know how to kind of fine-tune it based on your needs.
And I also think one of the unique things about Tech Tape is that you are a service. You're humans. So it's not software that you're dealing with, it's humans. And that's
Yes. Yes. We do
very
have our back-end software that we use, but yeah, we're not just letting something run in the background and calling it a day. I mean, I know that that's a lot of work in and of itself, but we do have human beings making nuanced decisions based on your needs. So that is the differentiator.
That's great. Okay, I will put a reminder of that discount down below in the description. John, thank you very, very much for your time. It's been great again.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thanks. I'll see you soon.
Right,
Bye.
take care.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to catch up on ones you've missed, just head to thetechsplainedseries.com. Or if you're short for time, you can head to thetechminis.com where you'll find extra short interviews. See you next time.